like to hear about heaven. Amen? Amen. By the way, us who know the Lord will be there one day, and it's going to be a glorious day. I'm looking forward to seeing some of y'all there, because I think I'll see you excited for the first time. I hope I see you excited there. But I'll tell you what, we ought to be excited about people coming to Christ. Amen? To hear these people have been saved, people saved at a funeral, people saved at our basketball celebration, people saved in prison, and praise God that He's still saving and changing lives. And He allows us to be a small part of that, but I'm thankful to be a small part because He's so good. And we say everything we do here, to God be the glory. It isn't about us, it's about Him. And may we never forget that. Now, as you know, we've been looking in this new year, and we kind of last week had the special singing group here, and so I didn't preach last Sunday as a result of that, but I want to remind you that we've been looking at this new year at living above the level of mediocrity. God never intended any believer to live in mediocrity. He never intended you just to have just enough of God to get by, but that's all you want. He wants you to have the fullness of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to go into Canaan land. He wants you to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He wants you to have victory, folks. This is what God wants for you. And by the way, one day we'll be victorious. Praise God. He will declare us righteous in Him. He will declare us when we see Him one day, He'll declare us righteous in God. And I look forward to that. I don't know about you, to get to see Jesus. Think about that. We're going to get to see Jesus face to face. Reminds me of that passage in 1 John chapter 3. It says, behold what manner, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And verse 3 says, and everyone that has this hope, this confident expectation, purifieth himself even as He is pure. In other words, if you have that confident expectation, you're not settling for second best. You're wanting everything that God has. Amen? And God has a whole lot more for us. I tell you, we buy some of these newfangled cars today, and they have all these extras on them. And you know, most people don't ever learn how to run all that stuff. You know what I discovered? I discovered even for believers, they come to Christ and they don't understand everything that God has for them. And God has the much more for us who know Him. He wants us to walk in victory. And remember, we explained it this way. Every one of us here this morning in one of three places. It were like the children of Israel. We're in Egypt. By the way, Egypt is the land of bondage. That's people who have never come to Christ. They have not come to Christ. The children of Israel were in bondage, and God had to deliver them. By the way, the Bible puts it this way in Ephesians 2. It says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were dominated by Satan. You were dominated by this world system. But it says also in Ephesians 2, but God, who is rich in His love for us, He gave His Son Jesus. Praise God. Because of His love, we've been delivered. You don't have to stay in bondage. I've got good news this morning. You don't have to stay in Egypt. God has given you a way, and the only way is Jesus Christ. That's the reason in John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. But then they crossed over and they went into the wilderness. You remember, God had given them the promised land. They got up to the brink of the promised land, and they sent in 12 spies, and they believed the majority report, instead of the Menard report. They believed those 10 spies. Remember, we looked at that one Sunday that we didn't even know their names, but we knew two of the spies' names, Joshua and Caleb, because they were able to go into the promised land because of their belief. These other 10 and that generation, because of their unbelief, they remained in the wilderness until that generation died out. I want you to hear this very clearly. There's a lot of believers that get right up on the brink of going into the promised land, the land of fullness, the land of victory, the land that has everlasting peace and everlasting joy. But you know what? They always look over and they, because of their unbelief, they come back into the wilderness wanderings. And some here today, you're a believer and you're in the wilderness wanderings. You come to church on Sunday morning, but that's about it. And you kind of go through the motions and you go through the things. You know all the lingo. You know how to talk about God. You know how to talk about Jesus and all those things. But you know there's something missing in your Christian walk. You know that you're not walking in victory. You know that you're not having victory over sin and over the devil and over the world. You're allowing the world to control you. You're allowing the devil to control you. You're allowing the things of this world to get you. And I want you to listen to me today. You don't have to stay there. You don't have to stay in the wilderness. God's desire for every single one of us is that we would go into the promised land. The promised land, a land full of milk and honey. It was a land of the spirit-filled, victorious life. It was a land of the abiding peace, victory. It was those who were fruitful. By the way, if you're in the land of promise, you're going to be a fruitful believer, according to John chapter 15, because he is the vine, we're the branches. And he that abideth in him, and I in, he says, you abide in me and I in you, the same bring forth much fruit. For without me, Jesus said in John 15:5, you can do nothing. You see, some of us are doing nothing. We're over here in the wilderness. We're just doing nothing. But God has so much more for us, folks. And I want us to look at how we're going to get into the promised land today. How are we going to get there? If you have a copy of the scripture, I want you to go to the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. May I tell you that God needs a leader? Amen? God needs a leader. And by the way, you know what? God places a leader in a church for a reason, that the people of God might follow that leader. Amen? That's God's plan. Okay? And not only that, God needs kingdom people who will be totally sold out to be living in the kingdom of God, and we will crown him the Lord of our life every single day. But God needs a leader. You know what? Every time in the Bible when God raised up a leader and the people followed the leader, God brought victory. Every time. And we're going to read about that today because God's going to raise up a new leader. Look at Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Let's look at it together. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Very interesting, amen? Did I tell you earlier? God's still speaking, amen? He speaks to us. Don't ever forget that. He speaks to us. God spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, and saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over to Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land that I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. So he raises up a new leader. And the book of Joshua is a book of victory, by the way. It's a book that God had given us that we can say, hey, we can walk in victory. We can go over the promised land. Because God's people did do that. God's people followed the leader. And the leader said, here's how we're going to do it. And what did they do? They said, no, we're not going to do it that way. We're going to do it our way. We don't want to do it God's way. We want to do it our way. By the way, as long as you do it your way, you're going to stay in the wilderness. But when you start doing it God's way, that's when you're going to go into the promised land. A lot of us, the problem we have that we're not going to the promised land is pride. We're prideful people. We want to do it our way. We want our plan. We want our own way. We want the church to be what we want it to be. I want you to know, I want the church to be what God wants it to be. My Bible says that Christ is the head of the church. Amen? He's the head. And we're to follow the head. By the way, if you didn't follow your head, what would you do? You'd be a mess. Don't you understand? Your head tells you, your hand how to move, your feet to walk. Your head tells, as the stomach speaks to the head says, eat. Some of us are following that command well. You know, all you got to do is offer a meal at a Baptist church and you'll have a packed out house. We're eating people. We're the people that think we're going to have to take a covered dish to heaven. But we're not going to have to take a covered dish to heaven. We have everything that God has for us. But God raises up a new leader. And God tells him some things that I want you to hear today. When the Lord says it, that settles it. Amen? It doesn't matter what you think or I think. It's what God says. What did he say? Look at verse 3. He said, every place that the sole of your feet shall tread upon, that I have given unto you as I said unto Moses. He said, hey, every place your soul, your foot touches, you tread upon, I've given it to you. I have given you the land. And by the way, the children of Israel didn't go into the land earlier because their unbelief. It wasn't that God didn't give them the land. He gave them the land then, and he gave them the land now. And by the way, he gives you and I the land every single day that we're willing to come under his lordship, that we're willing to be filled with the Holy Spirit, allow God to touch us. He said, hey, every place you touch, I've given it to you. Now that, look at verse 5. He says, there shall not be any man that'll be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. You see that? Well, that's a good promise, isn't it? No man's going to be able to stand against you. In other words, listen to me. No person can keep you out of the promised land. If God's given it to you, it's time to go in. It's not time to doubt. It's not time to listen to someone else tell you, no, you can't do it. It's time for you to take it at once. That's what Joshua and Caleb said years earlier, 40 years earlier. They said, God gave us the land. We need to go up at once and take it. But they did not. And then the Lord said, I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. And then look at verse 9. I want you to see this one. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Wow. Did you hear that? God's going to be with you wherever you go. And we got to remind ourselves of that sometimes. By the way, you better watch where you go. Because God's with you. Remember that little song we used to sing when we were in primary, little kids? Be careful, little feet, where you go, For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. For the Father up above is looking down in love. Be careful, little hands, what you touch. By the way, we sang that when I was about 4 years old, but it stayed with me all this time because it has a powerful meaning, folks. God's going to go with us wherever we're going to go. So the Lord said it. That settles it. He said, I've given it to you. Now it's time for you to take it. So how are they going to take it? First of all, if you see in the scripture, we got to be sensitive to God speaking to us. The God who spoke to Moses, the God who spoke to Abraham, is the God now in chapter 1, verse 1. He's speaking to Joshua, and he's saying to him some things that he needs to hear. Look at verse 6. What is he saying? He's saying, be strong and of good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide an inheritance of the land. That's where to your fathers to give it. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest serve to do according to all the law which Moses hath commanded you, that you're not to turn from the right hand or to the left hand, that you may prosper wherever you go. The book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, though you may be, that you mayest observe all that is written therein, and that you may have, be prosperous, and that you would have what? Good success. We hear that word so often today. You need to be successful. Well, I'm going to tell you something. What matters is, are you successful in God's plan? That's what's going to matter. Hey, when everything is said and done, when all this stuff we have here on this earth is gone, and we stand before God, what matters is, did we hear the voice of God? And did we have the courage to do what he said? And were we willing to be strong and of great courage? Were we willing to walk in victory? So we got to be sensitive to God speaking. We got to be very courageous. By the way, you know in the Bible, there were people that courageous and God blessed them. God's looking for courageous people today. Remember Caleb? Caleb was the other guy. Joshua, Caleb, they go hand in hand. Remember what Caleb did? He gets over there, and you can read about it in Joshua 14. I don't have time to go there today, but listen to me. After years that he had spent in the wilderness, Caleb comes up and says, hey, I tell you what I want, because he's going to the promised land. I want the land of the Anakims. By the way, who are the Anakims? They were the giants. They were the ones that the majority report said, we can't take the land because we're like grasshoppers in their sight. And they're like giants. They are giants. These were tall people. And they were afraid of these tall people. But Caleb said, I want the mountain of the Anakims. By the way, do you know how old he was when he said this? He was 85 years old. Hello? God doesn't have a retirement plan. God still uses us when we're open and available to him. But I want to tell you what he didn't say. Give me a rocking chair. I may sit back and rock and rock and rock. He says, no, I want the mountain of Anakims. That took courage. It took courage to David to stand before that giant in 1 Samuel 17 and say to the giant, the Lord was with me when I killed the bear. The Lord was with me when I killed the lion. And guess what, giant? You're going down today. It only took one smooth stone. By the way, David didn't kill the giant. God did. By the way, when the pastors are talking about David and Goliath, you better get alert. I was preaching on that years ago, and I had one of those watches that had one of those elastic bands. Now I have one that has a clasp on it there. I had one that was loose, and I got up there and I said, and he jumped on top of him and he cut his head off. My watch went right out there to the third row. That afternoon, I was speaking at the baccalaureate for Joshua High School, and I told the graduating seniors, I've been known to throw my watch, so you better be alert today. Well, their eyes got about that big. A watch-throwing preacher, what do you know? But David killed the giant with God's. That took courage. By the way, his brothers were over there shaking in their boots. And they were telling him, go on home, you snotty-nosed little kid. Aren't you glad he didn't listen to his brothers? He listened to God. How about those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? They took courage. They said, we're not going to bow, and praise God, we're not going to burn. So you got to be sensitive to God speaking. He's still speaking today. Secondly, you got to be courageous. Thirdly, you got to be obedient. Wow. You're to, look at verse 7. He says, you're to observe all that is written. Look at there, verse 7. Only be thou strong and courageous, that thou mayest observe, be obedient to according to the law. In other words, by the way, you got to be obedient to this word right here. This is the book of the law. This is God's love letter to you. And you must not turn to the right hand or to the left hand, but you may stay straight and on the word of God. Everything we do must stand on God's word. It is his living, powerful, quick word that does surgery in our lives. This is how God speaks to us, by the way. Now, does he speak to us through his still small voice, which God still speaks today? But I want you to know he wants us to be obedient. We're to follow everything that's written therein to the word. So, look at chapter 3. Go to chapter 3. Now, well, I've got 15 minutes to get you into the land. I don't know if I can do it in 15 minutes. Fasten your seatbelts. They get over there. Chapter 3, verse 1, and Joshua rose up early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim, and they came to Jordan. He and all the children of Israel lodged before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host. And they commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests and the Levites bearing it, then shall you remove from your place and go after it. I want you to hear this very carefully. If you're going to go into the land, first of all, you got to be obedient to God's plan. Listen to me. God gave Joshua a plan, okay? And he said, here's the plan. I want the priest to be bearing the Ark of the Covenant. And I want the children of God to stay a half a mile back, but I want you to keep your eyes on that ark, because as soon as the priest, and by the way, the Jordan was at flood stage, Bible tell you there in Joshua, is at flood stage. It wasn't this little 2 inches of water they had to trip through, just skip through it. No, this was a flooded river, Jordan River. Listen to me. He says, God gave me a plan. The leader received a plan from God. And what did the people do? Well, I don't think Joshua was very smart. I don't think we ought to follow his plan. Even though he heard it from God, we still shouldn't follow. He's a man. What would have happened if they wouldn't have followed God's plan? They would have remained in defeat. They would have remained in the wilderness. God gave the leader a plan. The people followed the leader's plan that God gave him. And they were obedient to the plan of God. God says, hey, the ark's going to go before you. You stay a half a mile back. You follow that as soon as the priest touch their foot into the Jordan, it's going to part. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Remember the Red Sea? By the way, this time they didn't have the rod of God. But they had something greater. They had the Ark of the Covenant. Remember the Ark of the Covenant? The Ark of the Covenant, it had three things in it. It had Aaron's rod that budded, showing the power of God. It had the golden pot of manna, showing the provision of God. It had the two tablets of the Ten Commandments, showing the direction of God. And you're going to see 10 times he's going to mention the Ark of the Covenant. 3 times it's going to be called the Ark of the Lord. And 3 times it's going to be called the Ark. Very important. Where was this Ark placed? You remember? It was in the Holy of Holies, was it not? It was in the Holy of Holies. That's where the high priest went in once a year to make atonement for the sins of the people. And he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat from a lamb that was without spot and without blemish. But I've got good news. The good news is when Jesus died at Calvary, that veil that was between the holy place and the Holy of Holies was rent from top to bottom, and everyone had access into the very throne room of God, because it was in the Holy of Holies where the Shekinah glory of God was. It was where the fullness of God was. It was where the power of God was. It was where the provision of God was. It was where the direction of God was, and they had access to it. And they were to follow it. In fact, he says, keep your eyes on it. Oh, folks, it's time for us to get our eyes off all this stuff that's going on in our world that means absolutely nothing, and put our eyes on the one who is able to deliver us, the one who is able to give us power, the one who's able to give us fullness. That is the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant represented everything that God could do for them. Hello? It did. And when I say hello at prison, those guys get just a little rowdy, you know. But we got to be obedient to God's plan. We got to be obedient. Secondly, real quick, listen to this. Notice what he says to them. This is the scripture that Brother Jake read today. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. I want you to hear this very carefully to me today. Listen to this. The word sanctify is similar to the word of holy. The word sanctify is the word kadash. The word kadash is used 172 times, and 108 times it's used in the Old Testament, that Hebrew word. It means to sanctify, to set apart. He says you need to sanctify yourself. Now listen to me, I got good news today. See, God wants to sanctify us. He wants to set us apart. And by the way, listen, this meant this, and don't miss this. We got to sanctify ourselves. We got to get rid of sin. You remember over in Leviticus 11:44, the Lord says, you're to be holy because I am holy, saith the Lord. Now, by the way, the word there in the Hebrew is the word kadosh, okay? It means holy unto God. It means that we are separated for God, and we're separated from ourselves and from sin and from Satan. Listen to me today. God wants us to sanctify ourselves. Now listen. Excuse me. In the New Testament, the word holy, the Greek word is the word hagios. You know that word well. 1 Peter chapter 1 quotes from Leviticus 11:44, Because he says you're to be holy. You're to be obedient to God. You're to be holy. Listen to me today, church. What God is looking for, if you're going to go into the land, you got to first sanctify yourself. You got to get rid of any and all hindrances to you walking with God. Any person, any purpose, any plan that stands in the way of you walking with God, you need to get rid of it. Now, I'm not saying get rid of your husband or wife. Don't misunderstand me today. But I'm saying, listen, God's got to be more important than any person in your life. That includes your husband or wife. That includes your children. Or any purpose in your life. That includes your job. God must be first place. Number one. He said, sanctify yourselves. And you know, it's interesting. In the word of God, in Jeremiah 1:5, the Lord said to Jeremiah, I sanctified you before you were formed in your mother's belly. Think about that. God says, I set you apart, Jeremiah, even when you were in your mother's womb. And by the way, listen to me. God set you apart even before you were in your mother's womb. He has set you apart for salvation. He has set you apart for deliverance. He has set you apart for fullness if you'll walk in it. That word is used over and over in the Old Testament, but we're to be set apart, folks. By the way, Exodus 28 says, we're to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That means the Lord's day, this day, is his, not ours. You don't say, well, today I'm going to do this, this, and this. Well, I'm going to go to church first just so I can clear my conscience, but then I'm going to do whatever I want to do. This is God's day. Hello? It is. And everything you do on this day ought to honor God. Everything we do every day ought to honor God. But you got to be obedient to God's plan. You got to be willing to sanctify yourself. Victory comes through clean people. And by the way, the Bible says if you're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, which we're commanded to do that in Ephesians 5:18, it says we're to be being filled with the Holy Spirit. It is a command of God. It is in the present passive imperative. It means that you are to continually be being filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, you don't do it, God does it through you. But you got to be yielded. How are you filled with the Holy Spirit? How do you sanctify yourself? You got to confess all sin to God. Is there any sin today in your life that's keeping you in the wilderness? As soon as I said that, God showed you something. Some of us have some pet sins we don't want anybody else to know about. We don't want our wife or our husband or anybody else to know about. But by the way, I want you to know today, God knows about it. Because he sees and knows all. And he showed that to you just now. I want you to confess it. There's got to be a surrender of your will, your body, your time, your talents, your possessions, your desires. There's got to be a death to ourself. Some of us never are filled with the Holy Spirit. And by the way, it ought to be a daily occurrence, sometimes several times a day, for us who walk with God. Because we're not willing to pay the price. We're not willing to pray the price. We got to sanctify ourselves. Thirdly, we got to keep our eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the ark. I wish I had more time to deal with that today. But lastly, you got to depend on the power of God. Look at verse 15. As they bear the ark, and they came to the Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water. It says, for the Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of the harvest. This was flood season, folks. That the waters which came down from above stood up and rose up like a heap very far from the city, Adam, that is, beside Zaratan, And those that came down towards the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed right over against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm in the dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on the dry ground unto all the people that were passed clean over Jordan. What did the priests do? They stayed there. They stayed there till everybody passed over. When they passed over, they had to pass by. They had to pass by the Ark of the Covenant. By the way, in the Old Testament, you touched the Ark of the Covenant, you were dead on the spot. In fact, if the high priest went into the Holy of Holies with sin in his life, boom, he'd be dead on the spot. See, our problem today, church, is we don't take sin seriously. We don't call it for what it is. What's keeping us from coming into Canaan? Is it pride? Is it not following God's plan? Is it fear? Is it you want to depend on your power, not God's? Whatever it is, confess it today and say, no longer will I stay over here in the wilderness. I'm going over into the promised land that God has for me. See, the good news about that, it isn't just for a few select people. It's for every believer who's willing to do what God says. Obedient to God's plan. Willing to sanctify ourselves. We got to keep our eyes on the Lord, on the Ark of the Covenant. And we got to depend on the power of God, folks. And that takes faith. The question I ask today, are you ready to go over? Well, the truth of the matter is some people, you know, they just like to live in mediocrity. They say, oh, I just want to stay here. I'm going to rock the boat. Well, I'm going to tell you what, it's time to rock the boat. And the reason it is, the Lord is coming soon, folks. Do you believe that? We say it, and we say we believe it, but the question is, are we living it? If we believe the Lord was coming tonight, I imagine everyone in this building would stand up and say, I'm going over into the promised land. You know what? He could come tonight. Because see, we're not on the scheduling committee. We're on the welcoming committee. No one knows the hour of the day the Lord will come. He could come at any moment. And by the way our world's going, I think his coming is sooner and sooner and sooner. That's the reason what we talk about today, to go on in to the land. It's time to do it, folks. It's time to, by faith, go on in and ask God to touch you. For some here today, excuse me. You know you're in Egypt. You never know the Lord. You've never known the Lord. You know him in your head, but you don't have him in your heart. And today I'm asking you something that's going to take courage. I'm asking you, in the moment we're going to have our pastor stand up here, I want you to walk down this aisle and take a pastor by the hand and say, I need Jesus. I don't want to stay in Egypt anymore. I need Jesus. I'm in bondage. I want to be delivered from bondage. I need Jesus. Others here today, God's calling you to quit sitting on the fence when it comes to a church home. This is where God's led you. It's time for you to come and join. Be a part of this fellowship. See, when the Lord comes, he wants you to be a part of a local body of believers. You come if God's leading you. But I really believe the bulk of the invitation today, for the ones that are here that would say, you know what? I've lived in the wilderness too long. I'm ready to go over. And I'm going to ask you to do something that's going to take courage today. I'm going to ask you to come and kneel in this altar and say, God, with your help, I'm going to cross over. By faith, I'm going to cross over. I'm going to be committed. I'm going to listen to your voice. I'm going to sanctify myself. I'm going to keep my eyes on you every day, God. I'm going to confess my sin. I want to go over. I'm going to ask you to come. Maybe you can't kneel. Just sit on the front pew or right where you are. It doesn't matter. Whatever God's calling, telling you, just listen to God. Do what he says right now. Let's stand. Everybody stand.